Galatians, let's go there. Wonderful book. I know many of you have some memory verses from Galatians. I hope you do. But let's look at a couple of key verses, chapter 3, verse 2. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? These two verses kind of reveal why Galatians was written. It was written so that Paul could help them to get past this thinking that the law had a part in their salvation. It was one of those churches, it was a Gentile church, one of those churches where the Judaizers had come in, these saved Jews who were teaching that you now had to keep the law after you got saved, kind of like a modern-day Seventh-day Adventist. So Paul had to write this book to correct that thinking. He also had to write the book to defend his own apostleship because there were some challenges of his apostleship from the church at Galatia. So this book, the key words are law and faith. Those are the most two common words, the law versus faith. Law shows up 32 times in this little book of just six chapters. So it's to correct the wrong thinking about salvation, that the law has nothing to do with our salvation, nothing to do with getting to heaven. And Galatians probably proves that better than any other book. And you'll see that as we walk through it. It's the only one of Paul's epistles, just a bit of trivia, where he does not express thanks for anyone in particular or ask for prayer from the church. So it is a bit of a rebuke, kind of like 1 Corinthians. But even in 1 Corinthians, he was thankful for various people in the church at the end. As far as an outline, of course, we have the introduction, but the gospel, Paul defends the gospel in chapter 2. Then he spends two whole chapters explaining justification is by faith. That's chapters 3 and 4. Chapter 5, Christian liberty, and then the flesh versus the spirit, and then chapter 6, kind of the concluding chapter in Christian duties. So we're going to work our way all the way through the first two verses tonight and learn some things. Amen? Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So I want to focus on that phrase tonight, all the brethren which are with me. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of meeting in the middle of the week. Thank you for how good you've been to our church. And Lord, we thank you for your word and ask that you use it now in our hearts and that you would guide our time in it now. You guide me. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be in control of all of this service. And give us a special time of prayer one for another as well later on. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. So two keys. Verse 1, notice he's already, first verse, defending his apostleship. He says, I am an apostle. He says, I'm not of men. I'm not an apostle because of men making me one. I'm not an apostle by man. I'm an apostle by Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus chose me to be an apostle. And when it comes to apostles, the Bible's very clear that they had to meet certain qualifications or they couldn't be one. And when we look at these four qualifications quickly, what you'll find is there are no apostles today. There are people that claim to be apostles, but they can't be. And I'll show you why. But first, let's go to Revelation 2:2. And I want you to see that people claiming to be an apostle who are not is nothing new. Remember when God wrote the seven letters to the seven churches, which were written like 50 to 100 AD. One of the churches, the church at Ephesus here in chapter 2, had a problem. All the churches pretty much had some problems. But he said, verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. So it's nothing new for people to say, I'm an apostle when they're not. It's been going on for over 1900 years. But to be an apostle, there were a couple of requirements. One of them was they had to be called by Jesus himself. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 13, if you would. Luke chapter 6, verse 13. And it says, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." So Jesus had many disciples, but only 12 apostles. And you'll see this theme goes all the way through. But look at Acts chapter 1 quickly, verse 2. And the first requirement of an apostle is that they had to be chosen by Jesus himself. Acts 1, 2, "Unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." So notice who chose the apostles? Jesus Christ. Now Paul, of course, wasn't part of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. But did you notice in defending his apostleship, he said, "Jesus called me to be an apostle." And we have that recorded for us in the book of Acts, don't we? That God came down and on the Damascus Road called Paul in a special way, and Jesus spoke to him personally and called him to be one of the apostles. Number two, they were given the ability to work miracles. And their miracles, if you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 43, their miracles were unmistakable. We're not talking sore backs. Amen. Brother Cash, you've seen it all, haven't you, in those charismatic churches. Now, we're talking the real thing. Acts 2, notice verse 43, just to give you some examples. "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Notice God specifically delineates their apostles, not disciples. Acts chapter 5, 12, we'll look at another one. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." Again, it doesn't say disciples, does it? It says apostles. And then 2 Corinthians 12, 12, if you turn there. Notice it tells us here, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you." Now for Paul to write that verse, it meant that there had to be signs that were specific to the apostles, otherwise the verse makes no sense, does it? If everybody who claimed to have the gift of whatever sign it might be, and there were many sign gifts as we know, there was tongues, there was healing, there was miracles, there was the interpretation of tongues, and so forth. It says the signs of an apostle. It doesn't say the signs of a disciple. So there were special things given. We won't go into it tonight, but it was Peter, wasn't it? Which one? Now, I can't remember. I think it was Peter, that all they had to do was touch a handkerchief, and then they would send it to someone, and that person would get healed. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? And you know, charismatic churches still practice that today. They make little doily things out of yarn. I had a lady try to give me one in West Virginia. she said, "It's been prayed over and it's been anointed with oil. So put it under your hat and it'll protect you." So I took it and thanked her and threw it away. Anyway, I'm sorry, but God does not give power to yarn. But this is unique. These were the signs of an apostle. So that was the second requirement. Number one, they had to be called by Jesus. Number two, they had these amazing, miraculous things that they could accomplish in the name of Jesus Christ. Number three, they had to be an earthly witness of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 21. And then we'll talk about how Paul was able to meet this one in his own unique way. Remember, Paul wasn't part of the ministry, earthly ministry of Jesus, so But we know he was an apostle. He just told us so. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So they're trying in their own way to replace Judas Iscariot. God never told them to do this, by the way. And they cast lots and they chose this Matthias guy. He wasn't the 12th apostle. This was the other apostle saying, well, there has to be 12, so we've got to get a 12th one. Well, God had all that worked out with Paul. They just didn't know that yet. But notice they did explain that we can only choose from men who have been with us, who have actually been part of the ministry of Jesus Christ all the way from John the Baptist until his ascension into heaven. So how did Paul meet that? Well, he talks about it in 1 Corinthians. Let's turn to chapter 9 quickly and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 9, 1. Notice he says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? So he's saying, I've seen Jesus. When? Well, remember on the Damascus Road, Jesus came down and spoke to him. But if you go over to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians and verse 8, now Paul doesn't give us a lot of details. But there's a year and a half that Paul spent on the backside of the desert, and he said he spent it with the Lord. So how that worked, we don't know for sure. But it looks like he had his own little Bible college with Jesus for a year and a half in the desert before he started his ministry. This was after he was called and saved. Then he just disappeared for a year and a half and said he spent it with Jesus. But notice 15:9, he says, for I am the least of the apostles. Sorry, not 9. Did I say? What verse? Oh, 8, sorry. And last of all, he was seen of me. So he's listing here who saw Jesus. He starts by saying, verse 5, he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter. Then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me. So Paul did meet it in his own unique way, that third requirement, to be a witness to the life of Christ. And then Ephesians 2:20 is the fourth one. And this is one of the reasons we know there can't be any more, because the Bible says that the apostles laid the foundation of the church. So they can't be one 2,000 years later. Foundation, once it's laid, it's laid. Amen? Notice Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's talking here about the church, and he says the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So they laid the foundation of the church. Now, Paul definitely laid the foundation of the church. Mankind didn't even know there was such a thing as a church, as a dispensational group, until Paul told us about it. So those are the four requirements to be an apostle. Modern day apostles meet none of those, so I guess they're not apostles. So that was verse 1, but let's go to verse 2, our theme verse tonight, Galatians 1. Paul said here, in all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. In other words, all these people that are with me right now, as I'm writing the book of Galatia, we are all giving our greeting to you. And that greeting comes in the next two verses. But this is only the second time he mentioned them as a group this way. The other time is in Philippians 4:21, if you want to turn there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 21. And often when we think of Paul, or maybe it's just me, we often think of him by himself. Because he was a great church planner, he was an apostle, he was a missionary, but Paul always had people with him. when he traveled from city to city planting churches. There was a whole entourage of people that traveled with him. Sometimes he named them. We're going to talk about that. Philippians 4:21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. So there it is again. Those are the only two times where he actually talks about them as a group, these brethren that are with me, all the brethren that are with me. So what I want to do just quickly is talk about the people that were named that traveled with Paul and some of the things that were said about them and see if maybe we can take away from them some examples of what God wants us to be like, because we're in this together. We're a team. Amen? Paul had a team with him. And yes, he was a great man and a great church planter, but he couldn't do it alone. It takes a village, as they say. And we're part of that. We're part of that body. We're part of that village. We're part of that team trying to get things done for Christ. And we need to be a good team member, a good helper. So let's just name some names quickly. John Mark was the gospel writer. He wrote the book of Mark. Silas or Silvanus was the co-author of some of the epistles. Both of those names are the same guy. Timothy was his preacher boy that he trained up and then established as the pastor at Ephesus. And he's referred to in Romans 16:21 as my work fellow. And in 1 Thessalonians 3:2, he refers to Timothy as his fellow laborer. So those are some good words, aren't they, that God would want us to emulate. That was Timothy. Then he mentions in Romans 16, Priscilla and Aquila. Now, they were fellow tent makers. Whenever Paul would go to a city or a church that was a church that was immature, he would make sure that he would be making tents as well, so that he wouldn't be taking an income or any financial help from that church, because he didn't want to hurt their conscience. So he would work. He didn't have to. And he said many times, I don't have to, but sometimes I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go beyond to protect the conscience of some of these weak Christians. But when talking, if you look at Romans 16:4 and talking about Priscilla and Aquila, look what he says about them. Two of his traveling companions. They were a couple, by the way. Romans 16:4, who have for my life laid down their own necks. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? They've actually risked their own lives for me, he said. And that was pretty easy to do if you were a Christian in Bible days. Just tell people you're a Christian. Then we have Titus, who wrote a book. If you go to 2 Corinthians 8:23, here's what he says about Titus. But Titus was often Paul's messenger. He would often send Titus on errands for him, either delivering an epistle that he wrote, or even in one case he talked about how he sent Titus to establish pastors and deacons in certain church plants that Paul had made. So he was obviously a confidant of Paul's. Notice 2 Corinthians 8:23. Wherefore, do any inquire of Titus? He is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. So there's another great word, fellow helper. That was Titus. Then we had Luke. Luke was Paul's biographer, if you will. He not only wrote the Gospel of Luke, but he wrote the book of Acts. And so he was the one who recorded for us the life of Paul in the second half of the book of Acts. Then we had Barnabas, another one of his traveling companions. They had a little bit of a falling out, but Barnabas was in the right and Paul was in the wrong in that situation. It was all over John Mark. And because Barnabas, remember, he was referred to as the son of consolation. But way back, if you go to Acts 13 quickly, when Paul was first called to be a missionary at the church at Antioch, God himself, Acts 13, listed who he wanted to be the first missionaries in the history of the church. And look who he mentioned, Acts 13, verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them." God said, "I want Barnabas and Saul to be my first missionaries. Ever." Isn't that something? So that's John, Silas, Timothy, Aquila, Priscilla, Titus, Luke, Barnabas. Then we have Tychicus. Look at Ephesians 6:21. See what he said about Tychicus. "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord." Faithful minister. Isn't that nice? Then we had Stephanus. If you want to go 1 Corinthians 16:15, here's what he had to say about Stephanus. 1 Corinthians 16:15. "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." That's a pretty amazing statement, that his household has addicted themselves to the ministry. And then down in verse 18, "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours." Still talking about the household of Stephanus. These are all people that traveled and helped Paul along the way, and the things that he said about them. And then last, as far as specific things said, is Epaphroditus. So if you want to look at Philippians 2:25, some of these names were messy back then, weren't they? Epaphroditus. "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier." So just think about those words that Paul used to describe some of these people. And this is what Paul wants us to be as we work together to see people reached for Christ, discipled, sent out to be in the ministry for the Lord, work fellow, laid down their necks, fellow helper, faithful minister, addicted themselves to the ministry, refreshed my spirit, fellow soldier. That's what God wants from all of us, because we're in this together. Amen? When he wrote this epistle to the Galatians, he said, "All the brethren which are with me send you a greeting." May God be with you. Now, there's others that are mentioned, but nothing specifically is said about them. I'll give you their names quickly. Aristarchus, Gaius, Epaphras, Trophimus, Sosthenes, Onesimus, Jason, Sosipater, I don't know how to say it, and Onesiphorus. I think one of the job requirements to travel with Paul is you had to have a hard name to pronounce. I don't know. Seems like it sometimes. But these were the brethren that were with Paul, the brethren that helped Paul. And this is what God wants from all of us. He wants us to be those fellow helpers, those fellow soldiers, those faithful ministers, as we work together to reach people for Jesus. Amen. To see them trained and discipled and serving the Lord. So Paul said, "I'm an apostle, not by man, not of man, but by Jesus Christ. And me and all the brethren which are with me send you greetings." And then he gives kind of the standard greeting. And then next week we see that he dives right in and talks about how if anybody preaches any other gospel than his gospel, they're cursed. And that'll be very interesting. So all the brethren which are with me, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for Paul and all that he did for you and the great example he was. And thank you, Lord, that so many people were willing to give up everything, travel with Paul, to help Paul, to protect Paul. And Lord, their names, many of them written down in your eternal word, and we'll get to meet them someday. But Lord, I pray that we would learn from tonight's lesson that this is what you want from all of us, to be that kind of Christian that's there to help other Christians get the job done for Jesus. So thank you, every will and way in our heart.